A deeper title would be Unforeseen Failure by You, but Not God. That's when y'all are supposed to like do a little gasp and go, ah, yeah, that's good. But anyway, should get some subtitles up there, you know. Let's. Can I say this? And let me look at the crowd first, or this group. Yeah, everybody in here has got a potential to fail God miserably. Amen. You do. From a place of strength. From a place where everything seems to be going well. Amen. You could look at it and think, man, I've got 11 or 12 of my greatest friends. I'm walking with Jesus. I don't think I can get any closer in my walk with Jesus at that point. If you know where I'm talking about. I'm sorry, did I say Matthew 22? It's Luke 22. Don't worry, we got plenty of time to make all the mistakes right tonight. I'm going to try to get you out of here by about right at 7:30. Seats. Okay, these three people right here, if we're running right into that 7:15, 7:20 area, that's the problem. Every time I end early during this time, they look at me like, who's going to wait for my kids? We got to sit over here and wait for our kids. Well, they're your kids. They're not my problem. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. It is Luke 22, and verse 31 is where we're going to start. But we're talking about Peter, and we're talking about his failure, unforeseen failure by him at a time when he was walking with Jesus. He was doing very well. And that's kind of where we're taking off, and I wanted y'all to see it. And the first place is in John. We're not going there, but John 1:42 is when Jesus and Peter first meet. He gives him the name Peter, or Caiaphas, which means rock, or little rock, right? And one time he has a discourse with Peter, and he says they're going to, the gates of hell will not prevail against this, me. He was talking about, he said, this rock, me. He goes, they call you the rock, but I am the rock of the church. But the reason I give you this, John 1:42, when he first meets Peter and he names him, he didn't name him Caiaphas, comma, sometimes. He didn't name him rock, but sometimes you're not going to be a rock and I'm not going to be a count on you. Amen? He just calls him by the way he sees him. Golly, I can stay right here for a minute and preach, but I'm not going to. But he calls him rock because this is what he says. I am God with you, and I see you as a rock, as a leader of the New Testament church, and that will not change. That's good, guys. That's good. Because you and I both know this book is chock full. The four Gospels are chock full of Peter. Success, failure, success, failure, success, failure. Can I tell you this? That every good leader has both of those qualities ingrained in them, and they use both of those to be great leaders. Amen? To be a great parent, you must have success and failures. Amen? So he calls him the rock because he says, I am going to let you succeed and I will let you fail miserably. But through those, you'll learn to trust in me more. And also, it'll establish who you are. Man, that's good. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting more out of this than you are, but I really enjoy that part right there. So then we go into Luke 22, verse 31, and the Lord said, they're having the Lord's Supper. They're sitting down in the upper room. They're celebrating the Passover, which is literally the pointing to Jesus being the Passover, and he's about to become the Passover lamb for everybody. And all of a sudden, you know, everything's going well. The he's washed the feet. He's doing the whole thing. And all of a sudden he said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, God, don't, if God says your name twice, God, I get this a lot from the Lord. I mean, I do. Kevin, what are you doing? Or, hey, listen to me. Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Man, I wish this wasn't in the Bible sometimes, because I'm sitting there thinking, well, why didn't the next verse say, but I'm going to put a hedge around her. I'm going to stand in between you guys, and he's not going to be able to touch you. But that verse is not there. It says, but I have prayed for thee. We put so much less value on prayer than Jesus apparently does. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. That when you're being sifted by the devil, and all your failure and all your weakness and all of who you are will be exposed to everybody, I'm praying that your faith fails not, that even there's just a little bit of grain of faith will be left in the shaker and the sifter. I don't know anything. I am very limited in skills of baking and cooking. But the skills that I do have were usually learned from my mother's kitchen. I didn't learn how to do it. I just knew the process that ended up with the good stuff at the end. Amen? So she made her biscuits. I knew when she was sifting the flour, I knew what's coming. I'll go down a little rabbit trail and come back. My favorite part of being the baby child in my home was there was one biscuit that was bigger than all the other biscuits. I don't know how, why, or where that I laid claim to this thing, but my mom would say it every time. Don't eat the big biscuit. That's for Kevin. I'd look at my brother and go, how about that? The big biscuit right there for me, right? But I knew when that flour, when they sift it out, you're sitting, it makes a better process. It brings out a better flour, but it also gets all the bad out if there's any impurities. That's what I suppose that it's for. The Lord will allow you to be sifted for you to be a better believer, right? And yet also get some of the unbelief. And he doesn't care if there's just a little bit left, if it's good. Whew. God doesn't work with quantity. He works with quality. Man, I have noticed that more and more with God. He doesn't need the number to be big. He doesn't need you to be overwhelming. He just needs you to be a good product. Whew. He'll take your good obedience over a whole bunch of skills and talents any other day. Simon, behold, Satan desires to sift you as that he may sift you as the wheat, but I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. You know what he does right there? He tells him that he's going to be sifted, tells him that he's prayed, and then he tells him afterward, use it to help other people. You might want to write this one down. Take your failures and make other people better. Other Christians, the brethren, other believers, make them better. Do you make anybody better from your failures, or you just sit back and watch them fail where you can compare yourself and say, well, at least I'm not them? Man, ain't that something? Simon, when you go through this failure, when you go through this brokenness, I want you to help other people where they don't have to. You tell them how bad it was. Amen? You tell them how bad it was. Verse 33, that thing that I would do. this is absolutely who I am right here at the core. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready. I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he meant it. He absolutely meant it. But he didn't listen. He absolutely meant it. I'm ready to go to prison. I'm ready to even die with you. He meant it. He just didn't listen to Jesus when Jesus cannot lie. He told him, he says, you are going to be sifted. Amen? You will Not if, not maybe. What he should have done is said, Lord, tell me how I can lessen it. Tell me how I'm going to get through it. But just like us, God, aren't you glad this stuff's in here? He looks square at Jesus and says, I'm ready. I'm ready to go through whatever it takes. Sometimes I feel this way. And then the next Monday or Tuesday, I'm on the mat. Right? Getting pinned by the devil. We wrestle against not flesh and blood. The devil don't fight you. He wrestles you. Amen? And he will pin you down and hold you down and make you feel stupid, look stupid. All the stuff you don't want to do, that's where you're going to be. Oh, no. Sorry about that one. Verse 34, and he said, look at this. Jesus tells him, listen how straight up Jesus is with him. I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, we ain't got to go that part. Look, what he tells him, he just said, I'm going to tell you how you're going to get sifted. Now listen to this. This don't mean a whole lot to me and you, and it doesn't mean a whole lot to Peter right here at this very moment, but he's sitting there thinking, let's pump the brakes right here and go a little bit slow because I want y'all to get this. Peter in his mind's going, I don't know what tomorrow is. I don't know what these next 8 to 10 hours looks like, but I cannot foresee any events that would have me denying who you are. Amen? Can we do that? Can I give y'all something that's really going to help you in this lesson right here tonight? 8 hours can change your perspective on God too. 8 to 12 hours, your life can change in a phone call. You could be sitting in this very room right here and your phone could go off. And your perspective on God would change. Not that you don't have faith in Him, not that you're not saved, but you could look at Him and say, why God? Why me? Why now? What have I done? Right? I guarantee you, Peter right here is thinking to himself, I don't really see a situation where I would have to deny you, Lord. I don't know why that you would think that I would be. And he goes, you'll deny me 3 times before this next sunrise. Whew. Is God's plan messed up by your failure? Is it baked in? Is anybody grateful for that? Because you know what? Sometimes we can get in this little line of ourselves. We think, well, God can't. If I mess up, then somehow God's plan's going to be messed up. No, it ain't. God baked it in. He's going to use every failure, everything you do right and wrong, for His glory. Ain't that good? Amen? Man, I'm sitting here thinking, man, thank you, Jesus, for not messing up everything because of me. Let's go to the second part, Luke 22:54. Let's take a look at what it looks like to fail. Jesus tells him he's going to fail. Let's take a big look at it. Goodness gracious. I've never preached like this before. Y'all know usually I'm running around like a crazy man by this time. But I think this is a medicine to me. So like a medicine. It's like a, what do you call it? A preemptive strike medicine. That's a military term and a medicine term. Sorry. Verse 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. This is after they take Jesus in the garden, and now Peter's fallen way off. Can we stop right here and take a little break in our minds? I guarantee you he didn't think he would be doing this either. Remember what he said? I'm ready to go to prison. I'm ready to die for you. But now what is he doing? He's behind the 100 people that's been dispatched to bring Jesus in, and he's following them closely, just watching. He scattered just like all the other sheep when the shepherd was smote, right? So he's following at a distance. I guarantee you he's further from Jesus right now than he ever thought he was going to be, what, a few hours prior. Man, it don't take a whole lot, guys. It doesn't take a whole lot of instances in our lives, especially when we're threatened with our physical lives. Amen? But I just want to give this to you because, guys, we're all capable of failing, but what are we going to do with the failure, right? And verse 55, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. Whew. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. Can you see it? I don't know why I see this so good, but I see him. He's in eyeshot of Jesus. He's warmed himself in the fire. He's already in a little different position here. Where do you think, I guarantee you, where he thought he might be? Standing right over there defending him. Right up there going, hey, what are you doing with my friend Jesus? Golly, can y'all get this? Just hang with me. I don't know how far we can get in this, but this is good. He's standing by the fire with everybody else. Kind of glancing over and seeing what they're doing with Jesus. I guarantee you this is already eating his lunch. Have you ever had this happen to you, that you thought you were going to be bigger in Christ, you were going to be bigger in your faith, but all of a sudden you're just standing around with a bunch of people who don't know Jesus, and Jesus is just right over there, but you ain't doing nothing the way you thought. I was going to be bold in my faith. I was going to share my faith. I was going to do this. Golly, I would, man, everybody in here might be against me. I just see this woman. I don't know why, but I see her. She's like this. And I could just feel, can you feel him going? Man, guys, listen to me. This man has been healing people, delivering people, casting out devils, healing the blind, healing the lame, healing the sick. You would know the 12 people that hang out with Jesus for the last 3 years. You would know them. You look just like that little guy, the little leader. It was like him and then you and two other guys and then the rest of them, right? You're one of them. Was it? And he denied, also with him, verse 57, and he denied him saying, woman, I know him not. Man. I don't know him. Just from, wouldn't it be different if it was a big old Roman guard with a sword half drawn? It's just a little maid in the room. Just another woman in there just, hey. And I'm not diminishing women there. I'm just saying, you know, it's a big difference. Verse 58, and after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. It's two times. I guarantee you he wasn't thinking, man. When Jesus told him, you're going to deny me three times before this morning comes. There is no way in the world. I can almost feel myself. God, there is no way I'm going to fail you. Not right now in my Christian walk. I'm doing pretty good. Have you ever, some of you in this room, know exactly this has happened to you, and if it hasn't, it will happen. There have been times, man, I thought, man, this is about as close as I can get. Boom, failure. You're like, how in the world did that happen? I can take you to two or three, man, that just blows my mind. Just got into full-time ministry, serving God in big capacity, telling all kinds of people in recovery they needed Jesus and how to get asked to come to do events. And man, I walked out of a Taco Bell one time between a gas station and a Taco Bell, and God says, go tell that girl sitting on the gas pump over there that I love her and I want to save her. And I went, not today, Jesus. She don't look like she needs to hear from somebody like me. What? God didn't say that. He didn't say look and see what she looks like. He said go tell her what I told you to tell her. I made up every excuse I could come up with from that place to my car, to get in the car, back out. And it's weird when you're failing God. He gives you great vision. I looked at her. She looks up at me. I get in the car. I can see her in the rearview mirror and the side mirror as I'm driving out. I get all the way, and all of a sudden, right out there on Walnut, every car in the world's coming. I'm sitting there. All I got to do is go. I'm not going to get killed. As soon as I get my opening. Man, that's been 14 years ago. That still eats my lunch. That still's terrible. But you know who knew about it? You know who knew I was going to fail on that end? God. Do you think, oh, okay, Kevin, preacher, evangelist, mission, whatever you want to. Failure. But he did let me eat every bit of that. He did let me enjoy the spirit being pulled back, the desire being pulled back. When I go to him in prayer and I'm wanting to talk about something else, or I'm wanting him to reveal some himself in here where I can help somebody else, where he goes, wait a minute, we've still got some issue here because you haven't talked to me since you haven't done what I asked you to do. Second time, man, I am not. 59, and about the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, of truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Went on about an hour. He sat in the room for an hour and didn't go to the first two people and said, there's a correction to be made. Amen? He sat there for another hour, and finally somebody, the third person, I bet he was sitting there thinking, haven't done the third one. Maybe Jesus was off by a number. Amen? Maybe I'm going to be able to sit in here and God's just going to let me off the hook. No, you were definitely with him, right? And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he spake, the cock, I mean, you're talking about God's timing. Bam, man, he hears it. Verse 61 is the saddest place in the Bible if you're anything like me or you. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. How do you recover from that? How do you recover from that? You know what he would call himself right there if you had met him right outside the door? I'm a failure. I'm a complete and utter failure. God will never be able to use me again. Listen, I don't know who you are. I don't know how you think and process information. But aren't you glad this stuff's in your Bible? I say this a lot from this pulpit. Aren't you glad that God didn't just take a bunch of perfect people and put them in a book and say, man, they always did the right thing. They always succeeded. They never failed. They never messed up. And you just sit there and you sit there and read the book and go, oh, gosh, one day I'm going to reach perfection. But I can sit there and look at it and say, God, despite of who I am, God will use every failure, ever unforeseen failure by me. He will use it to glorify himself when he needs to, when he wants to. Amen? Ain't that good? I can tell you, man, I can say right now, I can see him walking out of that room just like we've walked out of some places and go, God, there's probably really no necessary reason for you to ever sign me up for anything ever again. Is that fair? But do you know in your Bible, do you know the book of Mark is probably given to Mark by Peter? Do you know that? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? That's a secondhand account. Mark wasn't there. So they believe that Peter gave him that account. Okay, some of y'all are skeptical. How about the book of 1 Peter and 2 Peter? He wept bitterly. He failed Jesus on the highest level you can fail at him. At the time that he needed somebody the most, Peter falls apart in front of everybody, and it's like, it's over. Is that correct? Nope. Go to John chapter 21 with me. How are we looking on time? Thank you. Thank you for the permission to preach long. John chapter 21. Can I do something real quick before we get carried away there? Let's go to John 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Are y'all seeing that? John 21, 1. At the Sea of Tiberias on this wise he showed himself. And they were together, Simon, Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in the Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other his disciples. This is the part. This was an add-on right here while we're in the service. This wasn't supposed to be in the message. But verse 3, look at his leadership right here. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. Amen? They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship, and immediately at night they caught nothing. Peter didn't know what to do. He had failed God. Can we go back? Can I go back one step? Let's go back one step. I left something out that I really want to put in right here. This is the third time that Jesus appeared. But do you know the very next place in Jesus? Okay, Jesus, he walks out of that room weeping bitterly. Is that correct? Okay, he leaves that room. Jesus is then taken away and judged before Pontius Pilate. Then he is crucified. All right? So then 3 days later, word, the next time Peter is engaged about Jesus is one Mary Magdalene. The Holy Spirit dropped this one on me. He's not there. The angel said he is risen. I bet his heart drops. Partly saying, I hope he's risen. But the last time I seen him, I failed him. Would it be a glad reunion for me? In the book of Mark, the angel tells Mary Magdalene, go tell the disciples and Peter that I've risen. Y'all get that? Go tell the disciples and Caiaphas, the rock, my son, my child, my leader, by his name. Because he knew when he heard about his resurrection, he would worry and think, should I even go if he is alive? Would he want to see me? Go tell the disciples and Peter. Whew. They're all sitting in the boat in John chapter 21. And then Jesus came on the shoreline, and I love that boat. I hope y'all get this. I'm preaching everything I know tonight. Just deal with it. Where everybody's in the boat, and I love this. All the disciples are in the boat, and I'm just loving that because that's a boat full of failure. Nobody in that boat can look at each other and go, but I. Sometimes that's what the church looks like. And if we just admit it, we'd have a lot better services sometimes. Because most of the time we come in here and we tell each other how great we're doing, how powerful we are, how strong warriors we are. Instead, we should come in here and say, there is some failure amongst us. They're sitting in that boat all night fishing, ain't catching nothing, and Jesus shows up on the shoreline. This is my favorite. I can't ever get to John 21 and not share this. I am sorry, but this is just the truth. Verse 5. Let's go to 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shoreline, but his disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Guys, it's so good. Sorry. He's just standing on the shoreline. Dead, but risen. Just looking at him. Golly, Bob. Jesus is good, man. If I'd have been Jesus, I'd been anywhere but the Sea of Tiberias. I'd been picking me another 11. That's what I'd have picked. Amen? But there he is on the shore of Tiberias, just looking right out there at that boat, watching them yahoos fish all night and catch nothing. And this is my favorite place in the Bible, friend. It's my favorite.
Then Jesus, the first words he says to him, you might get a hold of this. Children. Is that in your Bible too? Then Jesus saith unto them, doubters, deniers, runners, forsakers, haters, no good friends. Children, caught anything? Got any meat? He still calls me child. Y'all know the rest of that story. He says, cast your net on the other side. Jesus, so good. As soon as John tugs on it, he looks over at everybody and says, it's the Lord. He took one. He's the youngest of all the disciples, but he's quick on the uptake. It's Jesus. Because only Jesus can catch fish here tonight or today, right? One of the craziest, coolest thing happens. If you didn't know the story, you probably do. But guess what happens? Peter jumps out of the... God, y'all got to see this, man. Peter jumps out of the boat. He's the oldest disciple. God, I wish we'd have this happen in our church. Not the young... playful John, the old man, jumps out of the boat fully. I mean, jumps, bails out. Charlie, you got to get a load of this guy. If you really read this scripture and how it works out, he's trudging in the water. The rest of the disciples pull the boat, the fish up to the boat, row to the shoreline, and they almost get there at the same time, Charlie. But Peter's like, I don't care. He's slodging through the water because he lost himself. He got undone. He got excited that Jesus had showed up. Wow, I wish somewhere in church that the older generation would get excited about God again and shout and weep and cry and praise. And I would like for the younger kids to leave this church and go, man, they went crazy here. Why? Because they've seen Jesus again, or who he really was. Watch this right here. Verse 17, I think it is. No. It's verse 15. So when they had, they got up there, and he feeds the disciples and apostles. Then he pulls Peter to the side, because you can't get restored, or you can't do what God's called you to do after a failure until you get restored, and God is the greatest restorer. So when they had denied, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, thou lovest me more than these. And he was talking about the fish. He said, do you love me more than these fish? Do you love me more than fishing? Do you love me more than the physical? Amen? It's a great question, right? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. You know what he just said? Do what I've called you to do. Do you love me? Lord, you know. Right? Do what I've called you to do. Ain't that, that's restoration. Amen? That's restoration. Watch this right here. Again. He saith unto him again the second time. God, I'm about to lose this, man. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him again, feed my sheep. Do you love me? God, you know. And God does know. He knows your heart. And he tells him again, do what I've called you to do. You are the same leader that I chose way back 3 years ago. And this gets good. Verse 17, and he saith unto him the third time,
Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And this is when Peter got it. Peter was grieved because he saith unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Because I think Peter was grieved because he realized that God had let him succeed three times where he failed three times. God took the spiritual ball and put it back on the tee, and he let him hit it every single time, as a good father would. Do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? And he said, oh God, you know. And he saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. He said, God, you know everything. Amen? You say, well, did it take? Did it work? Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5 and 8. And Peter's down near the more end of his life, and he writes his first and second epistle. And he's writing on the letter to help the churches and the believers in Jesus Christ. And he writes this verse right here, 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober. That means always keep your mind and your eyes open and clear. If I could tell you something in 2022, we're probably one of the most distracted people of all time. You need to open your eyes and open your mind and your ears and watch and listen to what's really going on. We are not at war with our fellow people of the United States of America or the world. We are at war with the devil. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, how would he know? Because he had dealt with the devil back when this happened to him. He is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Peter said this. He said, at the height of my time, when I was walking with Jesus and I thought I could never fail, I realized I got out of my, I wasn't sober-minded, I wasn't vigilant, and I wasn't paying attention, and the devil never changes. He is as a roaring lion. He will not have mercy. He will not restrain. He will not have mercy. He won't look at you and go, well, maybe next time. He is just like that lion. If you are in his sights, he will destroy you. He will devour you. I've told this a million times. It used to be one of my favorite things. I don't even know if it's on TV anymore. But one of my favorite places in TV used to be Animal Planet, and it was the cats, the big cats. That was one of my, every time it'd come on, I'd just watch it. I'd watch some of the episodes. But my favorite one was the wildebeest. And the wildebeest they were showing, they had this one little small wildebeest, and it kept getting away from the herd. And the older wildebeest, especially the mother, would take its horns and like push it into the center. And then all of a sudden you would see it. It would get out on the edge, and it would get out a little further, and it was just leaping and running and playing. And the wildebeest would go and it'd kind of push it in. And eventually it got into a place where it was real marshy. And this was the marsh pride land, the marsh pride, the lions were. And all of a sudden it got too far out away from the herd, and it had sunk down all the way into its belly. And the mother and the other wildebeest came to the very edge of the marsh and just looked at it. And it's like, we'd love to come out there and get you out, but we can't. We're not made for that. We can't walk in that. We'll sink down to our bellies too. And can our kids and our loved ones get sunk down into things that we just can't walk in? Amen? You want to go help them, but if you go help them, you're going to sink down into your belly too, and the enemy's probably going to wear you out as much as they do them. That's a whole message in itself. Then all of a sudden, here comes the pride land, the marsh pride land cats. This big male lion walks right up. The herd has to run off, and they're at a distance watching. And I'm watching this show, man. I'm not fazed by this. I just love, but I'm all of a sudden now I'm rooting for the little wildebeest. I'm like, hey, buddy, get out of there. Then I'm talking to the lion. Hey, man, give him a break. He's just a kid. You know what the lion did? Big old wide paws. Walked right out there. Sunk just a little bit. Walked right over to that little wildebeest, little less than a year old. snatched it up out of the mud, ate it right there in front of the whole family. I said, man, 1 Peter 5:8. That's what the devil does. That's what he does to us. Peter wants you to know. You better keep your eyes and your mind focused on Jesus all the time. And if you ever take your eyes off of him just for a second, you can fail miserably. And Peter didn't write this because he wanted to see you fail. He wanted to write you just because the same reason Jesus told him to, that we don't have to go through that. Amen? You know who we need to be? We need to be them other wilder beasts. And our horns should be pretty sharp. Sometimes we need to tell the hard, sharp truth that might hurt your backside, but you ain't getting ate by the devil. Amen. Peter learned from his biggest failure. God took it, molded it, made it, and at the end, he ended up helping people from his biggest failure. He was a great leader. You want to be a great leader? Take your biggest successes and your biggest failures and glorify God with them and try to help other people. I hope this has been a good lesson for you tonight. This is amazing for me because God will take your failure and use it for his glory. And that should help you if you ever find yourself in the worst parts of life thinking, I never thought I'd end up here. What you need to do is look for the restoration. Turn to Jesus. Let's all stand.